You know, as we think about what we face these days, we got to remember that in our land, in our community, in our sphere of influence, what they need to hear more of about is Jesus. You know, we don't need to spread religion. We've got to tell people about Jesus Christ. There is a desperate need for people to come into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I had thought about the week, my own experiences of the week, and I'm not going to belabor them, but particularly 2 days ago, it was just one thing after another. I was almost frightened to answer the phone call after about the fourth phone call in a row that was just overwhelmingly sad. It was just one thing after another, and you just start asking yourself, whoa, Lord, what's up here? What do you want? And I was reminded to go back to a simple verse, a couple of verses that helped me in the midst of that. And I wanted to share those thoughts with you. These are not deep theological truths, but they are very practical truths. What I refer to is an emergency plan for when depression or it just seems overbearing. Can any of you recognize that? Sense that in the last month or so, where it just seems like life is crushing in on you? I mean, it's look around. There are just a lot of people that are feeling this way. So I want you to turn to Psalms 32, and I'm basically going to just share some just really simplistic thoughts, but they were huge for me. They were very, very helpful for me, so that 2 days ago what I felt like doing is just taking my phone and throwing it out the car and just drive. No phone, and I was just going to leave Dodge. We're just not going to deal with any of this. But obviously, that's not what God would have us to do with life. So, Psalms 32 and two verses, verse 8 and 9. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eyes. Verse 9, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, lest they will not come near you. There was a phrase in the center of that that caused me to really just stop for a second, and I don't know why the Lord allowed those thoughts to come to my mind, but that phrase about do not be like the horse or the mule which have no understanding. Now, I don't know about you, when you think about when it's really things are not going the way you'd expect, we had two or three people that said that they heard of loved ones that have been diagnosed with cancer now. And your situation with another disease that requires painkillers, and what a scary thing that is in this day, you know, to manage pain in a culture in which they often give enough narcotics so that becomes an addiction. You know, we recognize that within our own work. I bet you three or four people in this congregation right now could stand at their feet and give testimonies of how they went through some physical problems and then had to go through what was even probably worse, the withdrawal from the narcotics that were given. We got challenges. Okay. Today, tonight, I wanted to, you know, you ever felt like things have come to a standstill? Ever felt like things aren't going the way you are? Your financial problems are growing too great. Your health crisis that you can't crawl out of or out from under. Those were just a couple of the thoughts that were going through my mind when I was looking at these matters. The first question that came to me that I recognized I needed to do, I'm going to give you four questions that I want you to ask yourself when this happens to you. The first one is this. If you're feeling this overwhelming pressure and you're sitting there and it's 11 o'clock in the morning and you still got the rest of the day to make it through, I ask myself this question. What would I do if I had no feelings? Now you say, well, that's a stupid thing to ask yourself. No, for me, it was not a stupid thing. It was a huge item because I was feeling all sorts of things. And the reality is that was confusing me. My feelings were very strongly throw the phone out the window and hit the road. That clearly wouldn't have been a wise thing to do. But I think of how often, if you had no feelings, what would you do? That's a good question. If life in the ministry was the same as life outside the ministry, you know, you had this choice or that choice. You know, I can be a pastor or I could be an engineer. I asked myself, what would I do if I had no feelings in the matter? You know what my answer was? It was instant. I'll stay in the ministry. And the truth is, I was feeling a lot of pressure because I was in the ministry. And there was a sense in which I wanted to run away from it, but it helped me to stop and say, hold on a second. Let's get rid of the feelings, because feelings are extremely dangerous for me. And the truth is, they're very dangerous for every one of us. They often cause us to make bad, bad, bad decisions. And so we need to step back. We need to consciously say, what would I do if I didn't have feelings in the matter? It helped me. It helped me enormously. What would I do if I don't want my family to fall apart, but I don't want to reconcile with them? You know, you have a tension within the home. I have a freedom to do either one. Well, you pull yourself up away from those feelings in a conflict. And you say, what would I do? You know, what I'm trying to say is that in our culture, too often we lack understanding because our culture has taught us to ask a different question. Not what would I do if I had no feelings in the matter. We ask ourselves, what will make me happiest? And that is such a wrong path. And you really, really need, you're not going to do it naturally. You're in the flesh, we're all going to respond in a certain way. So that's my first question. Not very profound. But I thought about that further and I asked myself, for some other situations, you ever had a situation where you wanted to do something but you had failed in it before? Ever had that happen? You're sitting here with the opportunity to go forward in this direction, but your past experience going that direction didn't work out very well. May not have turned out the way you wanted, maybe even quite painful in that regard. I think of Colonel Sanders has been an individual that I loved reading his biography or his autobiography on the man. And what had happened in that man's life is that guy was an absolute failure for 70 years. And it was in like his 70th year or 71st year, he finally put together the idea of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And then he was phenomenally successful. You know what that reminded me of? What would I do if I had no baggage? In other words, if I hadn't failed trying to do it this way before, what would I do? Because that shouldn't be the determining factor either. I shouldn't determine what I do by the way I feel. I shouldn't determine the way, just because it hadn't worked out necessarily well in the past. Although I'm not saying that we shouldn't learn from the past. But many, many times, we will not succeed the first time we try to do what God... I stand before you as an individual who made a decision to leave business when I was like 33. Then I started seminary training, and then it didn't work out. And it wasn't until I was 40 that God impressed upon my heart once again that no, you ought to be preparing, you ought to be in full-time Christian service. And then I've made a decision to try again. But I'll tell you what, I had to fight the fact that I had tried this route once before, and it didn't work out very well. It didn't work out well for me, and it didn't work out well for those that were really close to me. So what I'm trying to say to you is one question you ought to be careful about. I asked myself, what would I do if I had no feelings in the matter? What would I do if I had no baggage, no past history of failing trying to go that direction? However, I don't want to totally disregard that. Several in here, have a past experience of really life-dominating addiction. Okay, we know that. Many testimonies have been given in that regard. Let me say that that is not to say that that should be grounds to go out and party like you used to or whatever. No, I'm not advocating that. I'm talking about when you tried a good thing and it just didn't work out, it cost you some, and you kind of get defeated and you say, I'm not going to try again. Let me remind you, very few people succeed the first time they give it a shot. We ought to learn from it. Forgetting those things which are behind, we press forward to those things which are before. Another thing that I recognize holds me back is one, my feelings, one, my past experience of trying something good and it didn't work out the way I'd hoped and it cost me. The third one is what others would say or what others think. You ever been held back from trying something you really sensed you ought to be doing because I don't think others are going to think this is a good idea? How many can relate to that? Now, in my case, it's not all bad because I come up with a lot of ideas. And sometimes it's good to have the multiple counsel. But be very, very careful. I know people who have failed in business who will never go into business because of that. Because it haunts them that they failed. I know of others that have had bad relationships, and they're saying, "Well, listen, I'm never going to get close to anybody." But clearly, that can't be of the Lord. Lord is a relationship God. I've known some that said they had. In fact, we have some that are here tonight that had some bad experiences in church. And for years, they never joined a church because they'd had bad experiences in church. Does that make it wrong to be a member of a church? No. But it can cause us to say, no, I'm going to draw a conclusion that all churches are bad because I had a bad experience in one church. I say all of this to get to this truth. What should I do in these difficult times? Well, I ask myself, what would I do if I had no feelings in the matter? Because that helps me sort out what is truth. I ask myself, what would I do if I had no baggage? You know, if I was trying it for the first time, would I try it? What would I do if I had no concerns for others, or what others thought? And then I'm drawn to this passage. This passage was so helpful. Because it starts off with the answer to this. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will guide you with my eyes. When times get rough, we really need to step back and then look up. It is so critical. Look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. Look to the Lord, and then purpose to ask this question. Lord, what would you have me to do? And in reality, that's the only answer that we should follow. It says that circumstances can get really, really ugly and we can still honor God. I remind myself constantly that circumstances are often outside of my making, although some of them are. Those that are, I need to repent of. But those that are not, I need to recognize that circumstances come. And what God expects of me is to be very careful with my response. So here's my challenge tonight. Ask yourself, what would the Lord have me to do? And I am reminded of this truth up front, which is a difficult truth when things are not going well. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. One of the very helpful things for me is how the Lord has brought one little three-year-old, almost four-year-old, into my life, and he hasn't always had the most positive attitude. And I keep drilling into him. I say, now listen, Alex, happiness is a decision. And then when I'm facing these situations, I recognize that God brought that little guy into my life and caused me to have to say that to him so many times so that I would have the right answer when it seems like things have gone the wrong way. Because let me close with this thought. I stand before you absolutely thrilled that the Lord opened my heart to the truth that Jesus died for my sins. I am absolutely thrilled that there isn't anything that can happen to me in this life that can impact where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm headed for glory. And that is the main event. And when we recognize what is the main event, then we can invest ourselves and not get distracted. Get distracted with the things that are all temporal. In most cases, they're all temporal. You know, it's automobiles not working. It's plumbing problems. It's another person who has this crazy view on life that happens to be trying to inflict it on you. I had a guy outside our house today screaming at this other two young people, and then another young person came pedaling up on his bicycle and jumps off his bicycle and throws it into our driveway, and Pam and I were walking out and we're having to go. We had a commitment to an appointment and we had to go. And you have this one guy, he was really large, probably 6'6", probably 300 pounds, screaming at everybody. He was really upset. And this bicycle that now has been thrown, and these other young guys are all gathered around him. And we couldn't get out without doing something about the bike. My dear wife says, well, we got to go. And she gets out and grabs the bike and just pushes it off to the side. You know what? Our God's in control of these things. You know what that big guy did that was screaming? He waved and stopped us. Okay, I was thinking, this is going to be good. Oh, Lord. He told us that he had lost his little dog, you know, 5-pound dog. And he was looking for it, and that was what was the upset. You know, they were trying to find this little dog. And he was really apologetic for the fact that the bike was there and that he was yelling, and then everybody got out of control. Now, why do I share this? If we just look at circumstances, we can get all confused. But we got to trust our Lord. We got to look up to our Lord. And you know what? In our neighborhood, there is quite a bit of violence. That's the truth. Those of us that live here recognize it. But you know what? Our God lives here too. And our God's bigger than the problems. And in the end, what's important is that we choose to do what God wants us to do. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help each one of us to do just that as we go about the rest of our week. Just get up each morning, and the next several mornings till we meet on Sunday, Father, and ask yourself, what would you want us to do today, Lord? And then do it with all of our hearts. And then as we go about the day and circumstances come up that are different than what we ever planned, Father, I pray that once again you'd bring to mind that we are to just ask ourselves, what would you want us to do in this situation? And then to bring honor and glory to you. Father, I pray that each one of us is in the Word so that we would know the Word, because your Word tells us, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word. Your Word also tells us that we're to be careful not to seek counsel from the ungodly, but to be meditating in the law day and night. So, Father, help us to be godly individuals that are immersed in your Word, and very, very connected with your Spirit, and are led by your Spirit, are prompted by your Spirit, guided by your Word, and we pray that in everything we'd bring glory to your Son. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.